The coronavirus pandemic initially upended travel and caused the demand for oil to drop, so much so that in April, the price of some oil was less than zero for a little while. Our next guest has been looking into how the oil industry has fared in the last few months and over the last decade. He writes that big oil is in some ways being sized down. Dino Grandoni is an energy and environmental policy reporter for The Washington Post. Dino, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, thank you for having me on.
Well, what are oil company profits looking like today compared to, say, 10-ish years ago?
Well, yeah, as you said, the oil industry is in a bit of a tailspin right now, especially given the coronavirus pandemic. We saw that in the normally busy driving months of April, May, and June, BP lost $16.8 billion, ExxonMobil lost $1.1 billion, and Chevron lost $8.3 billion. So these are big losses for these companies to be posting, especially for ExxonMobil, which had posted straight profits over the past two decades until this pandemic hit.
And we see kind of a key moment. You start your piece with the Dow Jones Industrial group of companies that they use. That's what gives us that Dow Jones number. They dropped a key oil company.
That's right. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped ExxonMobil from its index. It had been on that stock market index for 82 years, so long ago that when it first joined, it wasn't even called Exxon. It was called Standard Oil of New Jersey, an offshoot of the Standard Oil of Rockefeller fame. And the Dow Jones is a bit symbolic and oftentimes thought of as a bit antiquated in assessing the overall health of the stock market, it is notable that Exxon has dropped from it. Right now, there's only one oil company on that index, and that's Chevron, which is an indication of just how little at this point the oil industry is regarded as a part of the overall U.S. stock market.
And you also look at kind of the percentage of the economy that the oil industry is responsible for compared to everybody else. What kind of changes are we seeing there?
Well, what we've seen, the kind of theme over the past, let's say, decade or so has been one of the tech industry of Silicon Valley rising and of the oil industry declining. Right now you have a handful of companies, Amazon, Alphabet, which is Google's parent company, Facebook, Microsoft, all bigger than the entire U.S. oil and gas industry if you take a look at their stock market valuations. So right now it's fair to say that it's technology companies that are driving the U.S. economy, much less so than oil companies or much less so than energy companies are at this point, which had not been the case in the past. In the past, energy had been a huge portion of the economy, something like 15% when you take a look at the stock market.
Now, you were talking about the pandemic impact on the oil industry here, but it sounds like this is a bigger and longer running story than just 2020. What are the longer trends?
So one of the big important long-term trends is the decline of the price of oil, even before the pandemic hit. As you noted, the price of West Texas Intermediate, which is this benchmark important price of oil out of Oklahoma, that went negative briefly for about a few hours back in April. But right now, oil is hovering around $40. But if you take a look back only a few years ago, it was $100. So when you're a company that was selling, is only able to sell its product for less than half of what it once was able to sell it for, that's not going to be good for your bottom line. Usually when all of your costs for producing will be the same or only down a little bit.
What is out there that's driving the downward price of oil?
Well, the oil market is driven by a lot of different complicated forces globally. You see, and a lot of it depends on whether or not these very large, countries with very large reserves decide to produce oil or decide not to produce oil. So if a country like Saudi Arabia decides to cut back on its production, that means that the price of oil might go up. If they decide to open up the spigot, the price of oil is going to go down. And that's actually something we saw during the pandemic in the early days, back in March and April, this price war between Russia and Saudi Arabia, where they both decided to kind of take down their quotas and signal that they're going to produce a lot of oil, which resulted in the price of oil to plummet.
Talking to Dino Grandoni from the Washington Post, energy and environmental policy reporter there, talking about his piece, looking at big oil getting smaller over the years. Dino, how about the jobs picture? I know there's a big boom in oil and natural gas production, which I think is part of the story here in the United States itself. How does oil fit in terms of job creation here in the U.S.?
So, you know, driven by those high over $100 per barrel prices that we saw in the past, you saw a surge in extraction jobs in Texas, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, peaking at a total of around over 200,000 industry positions nationwide at the end of 2014. But as prices dropped and as oil companies figured out ways to automate jobs, sector employment declined to 158,000 last December. And again, that's before even the pandemic hit, where we saw even more layoffs after that.
You quoted analysts saying big oil companies are, quote, still a very meaningful and important part of the economy, regardless of where the stock is trading at the moment. These are still big companies, right? These are not just, little mom and pop shops on the verge of closing down.
No, absolutely not. Although some of them will be going bankrupt or have said that they're going to be going bankrupt. But the very, very large oil companies are actually perhaps going to come out of this pandemic even stronger than they went in. Amid all this strife, some of the super majors could end up buying the assets of distressed companies. And it's often in the oil business that a period of contraction is followed by one of consolidation. So already we've seen one of these big purchases. Chevron recently acquired a Houston-based company called Noble Energy for $13 billion. They had some change left around and were able to make this purchase and might end up coming out bigger at the end of this whole thing.
On the horizon, how important are competing products for oil, like natural gas for, I guess, heating and other purposes, and electric cars that get their electricity from something other than oil for their energy source? Are these challenges for these big oil companies now or down the road?
Well, in the case of gas, these oil companies are often very often the ones producing the gas that goes into home heating or goes into electricity production. But when it comes to electric cars, right now they only represent about like a tiny fraction of auto sales. But you see investors pouring money into Tesla and into some other electric vehicle companies in the expectation that buyers and regulators are ready to make the internal combustion engine a thing of the past. And you also see some of the major players in Detroit, Ford and GM, investing a lot of money into building out their own electric fleets. So when we see the stock of a company like Tesla jumping through the roof, it's not so much because they have a bunch of new sales right now. It's about this expectation that they're going to be having a bunch of huge sales in the future.
And when we see something like declining shares on the stock market for oil companies, how much of that affects the reality of the challenges they face now, and how much of it is that expectation game like you were just talking about with Tesla, fears of what it might be in the future?
Well, it's certainly a little bit of both. It reflects the reality of how much gasoline or other products these companies are able to sell, and it reflects an expectation about what they're able to do in the future. And it's up to markets to decide what the value of those two things and how to weigh between them, how to do that.
As we wrap up, what are you watching for next with this story of big oil?
Well, I am looking to see whether Congress is going to be passing another stimulus bill. Oil companies were, like a lot of other industries, beneficiaries of the last several that passed before the summer. You saw a bunch of oil companies tap different Federal Reserve programs to help stay afloat. And as that money starts running out, I'm curious to see whether Congress is going to step up and help again. That is going to help determine, you know, how well or how many of these companies are going to survive going forward.
Dino, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Dino Grandoni is an energy and environmental policy reporter at The Washington Post. He talked with us about his recent piece, Big Oil just isn't as big as it once was.